proven His love. And I'm thankful that anybody can be a recipient of the salvation that the Lord provided on the cross of Calvary. And whosoever will, let him drink of the water of life freely. It didn't cost you anything. Well, the only thing it really cost you is your pride. And that's never helped you anyway. So just humble yourself and admit your need of a Savior and trust what Jesus Christ did for you. And that's it. That's it. Remember years ago when my dad first got saved, my dad was raised Roman Catholic, and he got saved just a few months before he turned 25. And he had a brother that's a year younger than him, and he went and told him about being saved. And my uncle said, well, that can't be. That's too easy. And he said, certainly you have to do something, some kind of work to grant salvation, to gain salvation. And it does take work to be saved, but Jesus did it all.
Amen.
Amen. And thank God for that finished work that He did for us, the work of redemption. And it is offered to every individual. You say, you don't know what I've done. I don't have to know. The Lord knows, and He's still willing to save you.
Amen.
Amen. And what a wonderful Savior we have. We're back in Acts chapter 3 this evening, and I was talking with the pastor this afternoon, and I said I gave him the first part of the message and the last part of the message. So I'm going to give you the middle part tonight, okay? And really it's just take some time and kind of apply what we heard this morning. Look at some things from this man's life and from his story. And what took place when the Lord changed his life and get some instruction from it with the help of the Lord. We talked about expectations this morning. And I want to continue in that vein, but I want to bring it home a little closer than maybe we did this morning. And so, Acts chapter 3, we're going to read just the first 8 verses of the chapter tonight. And so I invite you to stand with me if you're able, and we'll read the text here. I'll read aloud, you follow along in your King James Bible. Acts chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the 9th hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God." Again, I want to preach on expectations, expecting God to do something in us and through us in these days. And so let's go to Lord in prayer once again. Heavenly Father, thank you for your blessings on us. Thank you for your love. God, as we sang about your love tonight, and just thinking about no matter who we are, no matter what we've done, Lord, you've come to save us, and you love us regardless of us. And Lord, thank you for that. Father, I pray that if there's someone here who's never received your love by virtue of Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray they do that tonight, receive Christ as Savior, and have you as their Heavenly Father. Lord, what a blessing and a comfort it is to know that you're our Father, And Lord, if there's someone here tonight that does not know that, Lord, I pray that they would not leave without coming to Christ and being saved, being part of your family. And then, Lord, also we're prayerful tonight that you would speak to our hearts as believers. Lord, again, each and every one of us have needs in our lives. Some we're aware of, some we're probably not aware of. But, Lord, you know every need of our heart, and you alone can meet them. And so, God, we're praying that you would bring us to a realization of what you want to do in our lives tonight. God, I pray that there would be a spirit of expectation in our hearts and in our minds and our lives, what you want to do in our hearts tonight and throughout the week. God, thank you for saving us. Thank you, Lord, for counting us worthy to be your children, Lord, and in your service. And God, I pray that you would strengthen us to do your work. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Excuse me. Just with a quick review, I want to point out that this man received something because he expected something. And we talked about this morning how that if we don't expect to receive something of the Lord, then we don't have a guarantee that we will. James 1 says, let not that man expect anything from the Lord. If you don't come to the Lord with expectation, then there's no guarantee that you'll receive anything. But this man expected something from Peter and John, and we saw this morning how that he received so much more than he even expected, that the Lord exceeded his expectations by not just giving him silver and gold that would help him for a few more days or through another day or two, but something that would change his life. And listen, I don't care, again, I don't care how long you've been saved, how long you've been walking with God. We still are in need of a change. 2 Corinthians talks about that when we, with open face, behold his glory in the Scriptures, that we are changed from glory to glory. And that, listen, that is the design of God for each and every one of us. Yes, he changed us when he saved us, but that was just the beginning of the change. And the ultimate goal is to conform us to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. And so, listen, if you're paying close attention, you see who you are, and you see who the Lord is, and you see the great difference between the two. And so the Lord wants to continually work in our lives. And there are times when there are areas of our lives that are lacking, that are in need of reviving. And we have meetings like this so that the Lord can point those areas out and help us in those areas so we can live closer to him and live in his will as he desires. But the fact of the matter is that if we enter into this just thinking, okay, it's another meeting, we're going to do our thing, we're going to punch the clock, and then we're going to get back to life, then you're probably not going to receive the work that you need. But if you come in expecting and hoping and praying that the Lord will do something in your life, I believe that he will. And so in our story, this man, obviously, the Lord exceeds his expectations. He helps him out. He heals his body and gives him the ability to walk. And I was thinking as I was reading through this passage some time back and just thinking about all the different areas of how this man's life was affected because of what the Lord did for him. And I think we can get some instruction from them just going through the motions of what he experienced. And so I want us to look in verse number 6 where it says, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He received the Lord Jesus Christ. He received the healing that he needed. And you know, Peter, this was not his power, it was not his holiness that made this man walk. And I'm preparing sermons and praying, but I'm not the one who can give you revival. I'm not the one who can meet the need of your heart, but the Lord Jesus Christ is. And notice what happens when Peter speaks to him. Look at verse number 7. The Bible says, and he took him by the right hand. I think it's interesting. I think every word is important in the Bible. Every word is pure. It has a purpose. And it mentions that he took him by the right hand. It doesn't say he took him by the hand. It says he took him by the right hand. You say, why is that important? Well, to me, I see a picture here. When you talk about the right hand, especially in the New Testament, we talk about the right hand of fellowship. Now, and this man, he received that right hand of fellowship from the Apostle Peter. And listen, when this took place in his life, before this encounter, he didn't know Peter and John. He had no knowledge of the church in general or the disciples of the Lord. But after this fact, he had a whole new family. And listen, fellowship is so important. Fellowship, I don't think we can overemphasize the importance of fellowship in the New Testament church. You understand that when they met together all through the book of Acts, when they met together for the purpose of breaking bread and doctrine and fellowship. Listen, fellowship so important. Maybe in this meeting, maybe the Lord's going to point out an area of fellowship where you need a little reviving of your fellowship. I didn't pastor a long time, but I pastored long enough to know this, that when people don't hang around after church, when they avoid the fellowships, when they just they're just running out, and as soon as the sermon's over, they're looking for the exit and trying to get out, I know there's something wrong. There's something wrong. It ought to be important to us to spend time with the people of God. Your best friends ought to be in this building tonight if this is your church. And maybe you need a revival of fellowship. Listen, the Lord can do that in these days. He can revive your heart for fellowship. And he took him by his right hand and he lifted him up. And notice what happens. I love this verse, and I love, again, how it's worded here in verse number 11. The Bible says, and as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John. Now listen, he was not holding on to them for support because he was worried his legs weren't going to work. Because he had already walked and leaped and praised God. I mean, he was already, when he lifted him, when Peter lifted him up, immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and the first thing he did was leap. Now, he wasn't holding on to them so he could stay upright. He was holding on to them because he had found new best friends. And he fell in love with the people of God and the preachers, the ones who helped him, the ones who showed him the way of truth. There was a love in his heart that God had given him for the people of God. Might need a revival of fellowship. You might need a pick-me-up. Amen? Said he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. You know, the church house is a great place to get a faith lift. Amen? Just getting around the people of God. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I know one thing. You got troubles. Because this life is full of troubles. Everybody's got troubles, even the preacher. Even the evangelist who's on vacation all the time. Everybody's got troubles. And it's the devil's great design to drag you down. If he can steal your joy, he can make you ineffective. The joy of the Lord is what? It's our strength. A Christian with no joy has no strength. And he wants to drag you down. He wants to get you in the depths of despair. He wants you to just look at your problems. And you need to get in here and get under the sound of the word and get lifted. Amen. Amen. I will tell you this. The best way to get lifted up is to humble yourself. Amen. Because the Bible says, the Lord said over and over in the Scripture, if you'll humble yourself, I'll lift you up. Amen. Amen. And listen, maybe you need a pickup. Amen? Not a pickup truck, but a lifted up. Amen? Now, the Lord can do that. And he also talks there in verse number 7. He took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Maybe you need some strengthening. I would enter into this meeting expecting the Lord to strengthen me. We are in a battle. And every day, even though we don't see it with these eyes, some of it we do see with these eyes, but there's so much more behind the scenes, the spiritual battle that's going on in this world, and among the people of God even, there is a spiritual battle, and you need strength. God can strengthen you. Verse number 8, it says, and he leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Maybe you need a revival of praise. You know, listen, praise is not the same thing as worship. I know I've said this here before. Maybe you remember it, maybe not. Praise is not the same as worship. You know how I know that? They're spelled different. You always hear this, praise and worship, praise and worship, praise and worship. And now, listen, in our day now, when you hear praise and worship, in the churches, usually that just means music. Can I tell you, it's so much more than just music.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, most instances of worship in the Bible are not connected to music at all. And I'll tell you why, because worship is so much more than music. Music might be a result of worship, but it's not worship. Worship comes from the heart. Worship takes place inside. But worship is even different than praise, because praise is identified in Hebrews chapter 13 as the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. That's praise. Worship's in here. Praise is when it comes out. You know, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Who he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Listen, if you're redeemed, if you're saved, you've got a testimony. You've got something to say. And you shouldn't be ashamed of it. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Because it's the power of God. The gospel is powerful. As we sang those hymns tonight, I was thinking about the power of the gospel, the power of the blood, washing away all of our sins. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Thank God for the blood. It's powerful. Thank God for the gospel. It's powerful. Thank God for the word of God. It's powerful. It works. Nothing to be ashamed of. It's something to be preached and to be sung and to be testified about. And to stand unashamedly for the gospel of Christ and for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Maybe you need a revival of praise. Man, he was praising God. He was walking and leaping. So, come on, preacher. We're not in Texas. Amen. We can't be getting crazy in here. You know, every time I come in here, I see this spot right here. I remember when this spot was created. Remember that? We were here for the youth meeting, right? And they had this game, Run It Up. I think that was the game you're playing, Run It Up, or whatever it's called, where you had to find something, some odd object that somebody had, and then run it to the front and try to beat everybody else, right? And I can't remember the kid who he was, if he was from here, from somewhere else, I don't know. But he came running up through here. I mean, he was booking it around that corner. And he comes sliding in through here, and he dragged his toe, and it just, carpet burn right there. I mean, I think I saw flames come up. I mean, Why would he do that? He was excited. He was involved. He wanted to be a part of things. He was not ashamed. He did it to win some little game and some little prize. And we can't get off our hinds ends and thank the Lord for what he's done when he saved our soul, washed away our sins. We're gonna sit there with our lips sealed when the songs are of praise are going up to our God.
Yeah, come on.
Man, what's wrong with us? We've got the greatest gift that's ever been given, the gift of salvation from the Lord, and we did nothing to earn it, and we can't lose it. We got something to shout about. We got something to leap about. I have to be careful leaping now. I used to leap fairly good. Not real good, but better than now. And right now, the pastor, he can't run the aisles. He can't leap and praise God. So somebody's got to do it for him. Amen? Maybe you need a revival of your praise. Revival of thanking the Lord. And you say, well, somebody will think I'm a fool. Well, that's okay. Paul said we're fools for Christ's sake.
Amen.
You want to be a fanatic about something? Listen, you know, I like sports. My football team won today. I'm pretty happy about that. But it does not compare anything to what my Savior won. And if I can say, yeah, go team, then I can certainly say, praise our God. Thank God. He was leaping and praising God. He had a revival of his praise. He had a revival of faith. And boy, we sure need that. Verse 16, it says, and his name, speaking of the Lord Jesus, his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. You know, it's impossible to please God without faith. You can do a lot of things. A lot of religious stuff. But if you're not doing it by faith, then it doesn't please God. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 3. Keep your place there in Acts. I'm about preached out, so I'm just going to give you a couple more things here. Ephesians chapter 3. We talk about the Lord exceeding our expectations. We need to believe that he can do more than we think he can do. You say, what does that mean? Well, look at verse number 20 of Ephesians chapter 3. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I want you to think about that statement right there. This is saying that God is able to do above what we think. Above what we ask. But not just above. Abundantly above. All that we ask, all that we think. Now there's some big thinkers. Amen? There's probably big thinkers in here tonight. Some people are very visionary. Others are not. But there's some big thinkers. They got big plans and they got big dreams. Listen, God's able to do more than that. And look, there's some big askers. Let me tell you. I mean, we're in America. We know about big askers. They can ask and ask and ask and ask, and they never seem to get tired of asking. You know the Lord can do more than even they can ask? And not just more, not just above, but abundantly above. And not just abundantly above, but exceeding abundantly above. All that we ask or think. You say, oh man, this sounds great. Think I'll ask the Lord for $1 million. Well, you can ask. But I don't think that's what he's talking about here. As a matter of fact, if you back up a little bit in the passage, in verse number 14, Paul is praying. And watch what it says. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you. So these are his prayer requests. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. This is part of his prayer, and this is his first prayer request, and he's praying that we would be strengthened, not physical strength, although I thank the Lord for that, but something far more important, spiritual strength, strengthened in the inner man by his Spirit. And then and put this first prayer request with how he wraps up the prayer. You say, what are you talking about? Where he says, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. You know, the Apostle Paul is saying, Lord, we are trusting you to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We're trusting you to do that by strengthening our inner man. He can give us more strength, number one, than we even need. God has this. You say, "What? How does this apply to me?" You understand that we need spiritual strength in these days. That we are in a battle, that we are under attack, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We are wrestling with principalities and powers. We're no match for them. But our God can strengthen us up exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think.
Amen.
That, listen, that besetting sin that seems to have a hold of you, God can give you the strength to overcome that. God can strengthen your spirit, and he can strengthen that inner man to have victory over temptation and over sin, over fear and over doubt. That's what our God can do. Then he says this, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Well, he's talking about your faith. He's saying he can strengthen you, or he can give you faith exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. Being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. He's talking about comprehension and knowledge and understanding. We want to say, well, you know, I just can't understand that. I try to read the Bible, I don't understand. God is able to give you understanding exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think.
Amen.
Well, I just need wisdom, and I don't know what to do. God is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think, give you wisdom. He makes this statement in verse 19, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Have you ever thought about that phrase? How do you know something that passes knowledge? Think about that for a minute. How can you know something that passes knowledge? Well, obviously it's something that we couldn't know without him. And you know, there's two different types of knowledge. You understand this? There's intellectual knowledge, but then there's experiential knowledge. There's things that you know in your brain, and then there's things that you know by experience. And listen, when he talks about knowing the love of Christ, on one side I think, I cannot explain how the Lord loves me. It does not compute for me to understand why a God who is all-sufficient, self-sufficient, who is pure and holy and needs nothing and really benefits nothing from loving me, I don't understand how he loves me. But yet, I have experienced that love. I can't explain it, but I've experienced it. I can't lay it out to you and say, this is why, but I know it's true. And he said, listen, the Lord is able to just open up your heart and open up your mind and give you the knowledge of the love of Christ exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think.
Amen.
What I'm trying to say is there's a whole world out there that I'm afraid many of us have never even broached, we've never even touched, we've never even tapped into, because it's beyond us. But it's not beyond Him. And there's things that we look at and we think it's hopeless, and we calculate it out, it doesn't make sense on paper, and we look at it and say, our children, they'll never love God, or they've made their final mistake, things we've given up on. Listen, it's not impossible with God. With God, nothing shall be impossible.
Amen.
He knows more than the doctors. He's the great physician. Our knowledge, our comprehension, listen, there's things that are beyond us. I was talking with someone today, I can't even remember who I was talking with. But I was talking with them and I said, listen, there are things about God I don't understand. And I'm glad. Because I would not want to worship a God that I could figure out. If God could fit in my knowledge, He wouldn't be that special. But thank God He reveals things to us of Himself that we can grasp. We can know our God. And He wants us to know Him. And He wants us to draw nigh to Him. And we can grow in our knowledge of Him. But there are things past finding out, brethren.
Amen.
There are times we just stand back in awe of His Word and in awe of Him. We say, what a great God. He is awesome. Awesome. We're not going to figure everything out, but we can experience that love of Christ. He wants to help us with knowledge and understanding, and He can help us far more than what we could ever ask or think. And then the last thing He says is that you may be filled, verse 19, with all the fullness of God. And I'll be honest with you, this is something that it's hard for me to comprehend. It says it this way in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Great is the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. And then it describes godliness. It's got that dot, dot after godliness. It's going to tell us what he's talking about. And this is what he says. God was manifest in the flesh. You know, that's what godliness is. It's when man is not living like man, he's living like God. Right? In practice. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a Mormon. Amen. Don't get me wrong. Some of you looking at me. I'm not saying we become God. No, no, no. But I'm saying we're called to live godly. Is that right? And it's a mystery that God could dwell in flesh. And yet that's exactly what he did. When Jesus Christ took upon him flesh, God the Son took on flesh, it was God living in the flesh. Is that right?
That's right.
Now let me ask you this question. When you got saved by the grace of God, who moved in? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Is that right? We're in Him, He's in us. Reciprocal indwelling. That's a mystery to me, Brother Kevin. I look at me in the mirror and I think, I don't see how God could take up residence in this. I look at my life and I think, how could God take up residence in me? It's a mystery. It's beyond what I can even comprehend. And yet, He has indwelt us, and He can control our lives. He can fill us with all His fullness and use unworthy vessels to perform eternal work. That's an amazing thing. Notice He says in chapter 3:19, be filled, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. Look down in chapter 4, verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know, that's what the Lord's doing. He's shaping us and molding us, and He's bringing us so that we could be in the image of Christ. And then look at chapter 5 and verse 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The fullness of God, chapter 3. The fullness of Christ, chapter 4. The fullness of the Spirit, chapter 5. I think He's trying to get a point across to us. That we need to be filled with God, not filled with self. And though it's a great mystery, and though it's hard to comprehend and hard to explain, I believe that we can be filled with the fullness of God, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Amen. What I'm trying to say is we're aiming too low. This is not about us, it's about Him. I feel like our expectations are way lower than they ought to be. We have no, we really, many times it seems, we have no idea who we're really dealing with here. And God doesn't just want to give us life. He wants to give us life more abundant. He doesn't want us just making it through. He doesn't want us just holding on until Jesus comes. He wants us to live in victory and the power of His Spirit and to be filled with His fullness and to understand His love and to be strengthened with might in the inner man. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Greater is He that's in you than he that's within the world. And it seems like in a day when most Christians are just trying to hide and keep their head down until the storm passes over, we need to stand up and be counted for the Lord and say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Not standing in our own strength, but standing in the power of God. Say, preacher, I just don't think I have that in me. If you're saved, you got all that in you and much more. By virtue of the Spirit of Christ. In a day, this day that God has called us to be in, we are lights for Him. He said, ye are the light of the world. If the world is dark, and we are the light, then who's dropping the ball? We are. He's put His light within us. Is that right? Well, that's a dark, dark world. I know it is. But listen, don't sit around waiting for the world to brighten up. It's not going to do it. Well, you know, if we win this election. Yeah, we won some elections. Tell me how that's going. Come on. It's not about elections. The hope's not in the White House, it's in the church house. And we need to shine. Don't hide our light under a bushel. Let the Lord shine through us and expect the Lord to do great things. William Carey, that great missionary, you probably heard it dozens of times. It's what he said. Attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God. Listen, we ought to be attempting things so great that we are bound to fail without the power of God. That if God doesn't help us, we're going to fail. That's where we need to get. We're playing it safe too often. We're playing it safe. We know how to do church. We know how to do our thing. We know how to keep the thing rolling and everything, and we'll just hunker down. That is not what God's called us to do. We're shortchanging the power of our God because we're looking at ourselves and we're saying, I'm not able, I'm not capable. Well, you got that part right, but He is able. He is capable. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Let's pray big prayers this week. Let's seek God for big things this week. Whatever you think is big, I don't know what you're thinking is big, but I'm talking about great spiritual gains in our hearts and our homes, in the church. I'm talking about souls being saved. I'm talking about real revival. Real revival, which starts with the people of God. I don't want to just go through this week and say, yeah, we had another good meeting. I want it to be more than that. And I'm expecting God to do something great. And there's a part of my heart that's saying, boy, you're kind of stepping out on a limb here. I believe, help my unbelief. I want to expect, because I want the focus to be on Him. And if we're all focused on Him, there's nothing He can't do. I mean, without Him, we can do nothing. But He can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Are you asking? Are you thinking? I hope you are. And I hope you're expecting God to do even more. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. God, You are so great. You are so mighty. You are so powerful. And Lord, we repent. We're sorry for the times that we shortchange You. We start talking about how wicked the world is and how strong the devil is and how powerful the flesh is. It's almost as if we're taking You out of the equation. God, forgive us for that spirit. And God, help us to understand that You're just as great as You were during the great revivals of old. You're just as powerful as when You parted the Red Sea and when You spared Daniel from the lion's den. You're just as powerful as You were on the day of Pentecost. You have not lost one ounce of Your power. And You can do great and mighty things. And Lord, I don't know what Your plan is. But Lord, I know this. I want it to be done. And I don't want my unbelief to stand in the way. I'm thinking about when You went to Nazareth during Your ministry, Lord. And You couldn't do there any mighty work because of their unbelief. God, I don't want that to be me. I don't want that to be this church this week. Lord, I want us all to be in expectation of You doing something great and mighty in our hearts, in our lives, in our children, in our families, in our marriages, in our homes, Lord, in our communities, on our jobs, in our nation. Lord, help us to look to you with great expectation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.